Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review Thor and Something Borrowed. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Welcome, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And Mr. Film, for our first review, Kenneth Branagh is back in the director's seat at the helm of Marvel's Thor, released by Paramount Pictures.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
And you are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
Father.
I now take from you your power! And I cast you out!
Oh, no, this is Earth, isn't it?
Where'd he come from?
The movie, starring Chris Hemsworth as Thor, is not your typical comic book movie. This is more of a fantasy action picture than a superhero in the real world kind of story that we're used to. In other words, instead of science fiction, as we get with Spider-Man, Iron Man, X-Men, etc., we get fantasy. Well, mostly fantasy. And that's the biggest problem here. It's fantasy trying to pose as science fiction, and it just doesn't work. The picture opens with Natalie Portman as Jane, a scientist investigating some weird meteorological phenomenon in New Mexico. She and her crew drive into some kind of tornado, and something strange happens. Then the picture goes into a flashback of sorts, into a fantasy world that is about Thor and his brother and their father, played by Anthony Hopkins, the king of their realm, who is passing on the crown to his son Thor. Oh, but there's a bad guy from another realm here, some ice giants or something like that, and they're apparently at peace between these two realms, but tensions are high, and yawn. Mr. Film, are you still awake?
I think so, just about.
Okay. Almost. Well, when we finally get back to the this-worldly adventure, we've pretty much lost all interest. Two-thirds of the script is basically backstory, which is a big problem as we're left wondering when we're going to get to the point of it all. Yes, there's that ultimate fight as we get with most superhero movies, but it's about as climactic as a 90-year-old man without his little blue pills. Natalie Portman is as stale as ever, and it seems she's just phoning in her performance here. And there is absolutely no chemistry between her and Thor as the love interest. If you want chemistry, go see her in No Strings Attached with Austin Kutcher to see how it's done right. Thor himself, who has been banished from his realm and sent to Earth by his father to teach him a lesson by making him become mortal, or something like that, is petulant and a bit immature, so it's really hard to root for him. And his father banishing him from the kingdom seems a bit harsh and makes you think that the king might need a lesson or two in leadership himself. Anyway, by the time Thor's learned his lesson, we just don't care anymore. In fact, most of the performances are pretty flat. So for us mere mortals, I have to say skip the near two-hour PG-13 rated movie. The only thing that really worked for me here was some of the humor when Thor was on Earth. He speaks in that fantasy, otherworldly English accent, and the fish-out-of-water comic relief works. But it's not relief enough to recommend the movie as a whole. Thor is a bore. I'm giving this a D+, Mr. Film.
Okay, Mr. Movie, you hit the cinematic nail on the head with Thor's hammer with this one. If this is what the summer bodes for the superhero flicks, and I'm warning everyone there's at least five more coming out, then I think we've just seen the beginning of the death throes of the whole genre, at least for a decade or two. But I want to talk about why I think I hated this film just a smidgen more than you did. The whole enterprise is nothing more than a whistle-wetting exercise for next year's Avengers flick, which will unite heroes from this year's Thor, Cat and Captain America's films with those from the Hulk and Iron Man franchise. And I think this is one of the big reasons why the film fails so miserably. Yeah. The chemistry between Portman and Hemsworth is non-existent. The story is lame and boring. And the stupid fantasy sci-fi elements, though intriguing at times, are just muddled. The film exists solely so the Avengers will have an adequate backstory. Now, Mr. Movie, you know that I'm not one to give away spoilers. But I urge anyone but the diehard fans out there to go out, read all the spoilers, then decide if you want to waste even 1 minute of your life on this nonsense. I admit, I'm a geek boy at heart, and I usually love all the superhero junk, but even I have my limits. Now, another thing I want to talk about that adds to the failure of this flick is the so-called 3D, which was just bad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For me, it was blurry in parts, and other than the credits and some snow and the ice planet or whatever it was, it's not all that special at all. That being said, Thor is a good-looking film as far as it goes. The stars look the part, the costumes look just like they do in the comic book, and the overall design is good. It's just too bad that the flick was just so ho-hum from a story perspective. I quite honestly, and I mean this in all my geek boyness, I had no idea what the heck was going on most of the time. And I know the comic book, and I really didn't care. And that's the biggest problem with this flick. I just found it impossible to invest in any of the characters or the muddled adventure. If the stakes were more interesting, now I won't say bigger because they were sort of big, and Thor was a more compelling character, say by going on a hero's journey with challenges, triumphs, sorrows, etc., then I think we'd be having a different conversation. Unfortunately, what we got here was a lot of window dressing, and I don't know when Hollywood, or at least the part that makes superhero films, is going to understand that it's just not the brand that sells a picture, it's the story. So just because the art design was okay, I'm going to give this a 3D minus.
3D minus?
A 3D minus.
All right.
Well, we have to honor the waste of time that they spent making this a 3D picture.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about the 3D. We saw it in 3D. I don't know if it was the actual projection aspect of it that made it fuzzy at times, but I think, you know, the left and right eye got out of sync at some point, which is what caused that that fuzziness. Yeah, this is not worth a 3D at all, like you said, except for some of the credits, which are kind of cool, but...
Yeah, you also brought up Natalie Portman and that she basically, you know, that the chemistry aspect.
Yeah.
From the No Strings Attached. She felt like she was playing the same part in this picture, particularly the way she reacts to Thor a couple of times, this kind of, you know, horn dog sort of way. So, I kind of think she was still in that mode when she was making this picture. So, I agree with you. Just go. If you want to see her in a good picture, go see or at least a better performance.
Yeah, a better picture. I don't know if it's particularly great, but
yeah, but at least a better performance. Go see No Strings Attached because that at least was somewhat amusing and not like just a. I felt like part of my life was just sucked away now.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get any better with our next picture, Mr. Film.
Yes. All right. Well, the limits of friendship and love are tested in the newest rom-com, Something Borrowed from Warner Brothers.
Darcy, this is Dex.
I know. You've only been talking about him for 9 months.
Ask Rachel out on a date.
Darcy, we're just friends. Friend that asked me out.
Now I remember why I had such a crush on you in law school.
How come you never told me how you felt?
I'm sorry.
I was just...
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
It was just a big mistake. We were both really drunk.
I wasn't that drunk.
What?
Why do you let her win?
Because that's what Darcy does. Darcy wins. She always has.
Rachel, you deserve to be happy.
Darcy, played by Kate Hudson, and Rachel, played by Jennifer Goodwin, have been friends forever. But one thing threatens to destroy their friendship. Rachel's unrequited crush on Darcy's fiancé, Dex, played by Colin Egglesfield. A crush that becomes requited after a drunken tryst after Rachel's 30th birthday party. What ensues is all sorts of lovelorn pining, bridezilla antics, and several guy-friendly scenes involving John Krasinski as the pal's boyhood buddy, Ethan. Now, the PG-13 flick isn't horrible. I think the intended audience will like it just fine. But like Thor, I found it tough to root for or care about these self-absorbed, whiny characters. But the story, based on the novel of the same name by Emily Giffen, does touch on some interesting points about living your dreams and taking chances, even if they lead to failure. The cast is fine. Goodwin and Egglesfield have some good chemistry, and Hudson plays Darcy with just the right balance of nastiness and insecure vulnerability. But for me, Krasinski steals the show here, though to a certain extent he's just playing a version of his Jim Halpert character from The Office. He is the Greek chorus here, saying all the things I was thinking and pushing Goodwin's Rachel to stop being a victim. While everything wraps up fairly predictably, like Ron Howard's The Dilemma from earlier this year, it's not necessarily the neat happy ending we would expect. Now, my biggest criticism of the film, though, is that it's just way too long at an hour and 50 minutes. It needs to be a spare 90 minutes and focus completely on the principals, excising some of those flashbacks and the several innumerable trips to the Hamptons. Though I suspect that this the Hamptons aspect was something that was in the novel quite a bit. I can't say that I love the picture, but as modern rom-coms go, it was inoffensive and serviceable. So I'm going to give this a B-.
Oh, Mr. Film, I have two words to say about your review.
What's that?
Too nice.
You always say I'm too mean.
Well, generally, I agree with your analysis, though. I mean, these characters are so uninteresting, and the problem here is that nobody is acting on their values.
Yeah.
You know, drama is made when values are in conflict, but values presuppose action, and these characters don't take any action for most of the picture.
Yeah.
And that means there's very little drama and very little to root for. Now, I did like Jennifer Goodwin for a while, and Kate Hudson as the best friend does counterbalance her shy, modest approach to life, and you can see why they're friends, so that was good. But I do take issue with what you said about these characters being too self-absorbed. I don't think they're self-absorbed enough. I mean, from their choices to men to choice of careers, they're not really living their lives and doing what they want to do. The only thing that's stopping them is their inability to act on their values. And the love interest here, played by, you mentioned, Colin Egglesfield, he is the worst offender in this category. I mean, he strings poor Jennifer along, trying to have his cake and eat it too, and evading at every turn, evading making a choice. And his whiny, "but you didn't tell me you liked me" shtick could only be sympathetic on the grade school playground. I mean, for God's sake, these people are in their 30s, and Mr. I Can't Make Up My Mind Love Pants is just letting his life being guided by what others want, and, you know, whether it be his parents or his two best friends, it's just pathetic. I mean, and it's unsexy, unappealing, and unromantic, especially. I mean, Miss Goodwin's character should have shot the guy in the head by the end of the movie. I think that would have been a lot more interesting, you know, just given the circumstances. Now, the only saving grace in this movie is John Krasinski, as you mentioned, Mr. Film. I totally agree with you there. And the reason he works, I think, is because he's the only frickin' character in this movie willing to take any actions, which means he's the only character that moves this plot forward. And thank goodness for that, because without him, this romantic disaster would have never ended. So I say skip Something Borrowed and instead go borrow Definitely Maybe from Netflix. That's one of the best romantic comedies in the last 3 years or so. It came out in 2008. And it has that sort of flashback element that we have here, but it's actually done right. So because of Krasinski and I like the two best friends, you know, relationship element of that, there's a dance scene in this which is pretty good and fun. Those things worked for me, but, you know, on a whole, this is a total skip. And I'm going to say C-.
All right. I agree with you, and I think maybe I liked it just a little bit better because you did have the John Krasinski character. You didn't have them coming to some weird realization at some point. I also kind of like the fact that the ending isn't quite this neat wrap-up like we've seen in a typical romantic comedy. So I don't know. I mean, I do like Kate Hudson quite a bit. I thought her character was annoying, but I do like her. And I think Jennifer Goodwin, I'm with you on that. I do agree with you about the idiot fiance she was pining for. I think it would have been a lot more interesting if she maybe didn't shoot him in the head, but at least maybe hit him in the head with a sock full of panties or something. That might have been a more interesting.
She should have just dumped him. I mean, it, you know.
Yeah. Geez. Yeah. So, yeah, so I don't know. I just, you know, and he was a little bland and such. I think John Krasinski was a more interesting – I think he's a more interesting actor anyway. I think this guy was just hired for the same reason that Hemsworth was hired for – Hemsworth or whatever his name was in the Thor movie was hired. You know, he looked the part.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though. Like, there were times where he had gestures and whatnot that reminded me a lot of Tom Cruise, actually. You know, minus the self-esteem and a few IQ points. of course.
Yeah. I don't think this is as horrible as some of the rom-coms that we've seen in the last few months, but it wasn't there. And I probably was being a little too nice. I agree with you. I will give you that. I was being too nice. I'm not going to change my grade because I think it is for a rom-com – for what it is.
And it didn't have, you know, much gross out humor or things like that, which was a relief.
Yeah. I mean, it was trying to be romantic and have this kind of romantic sort of thing. And they do. And I agree with you that for the most part, the big problem with the characters is that they don't, you know, you can't root for them because they are these whiny sort of these people who just sacrifice all their loves and wants and needs, et cetera, which is compelling for a romantic comedy.
Exactly.
Because typically what you're doing is you're going for, you know, the girl of your dreams or the guy of your dreams or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, love is based on values, and these people don't have any values of their own. They're all, you know, kind of second-handers in a way, like doing, well, what does mommy want me to do and that kind of stuff. And it's just...
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I think you really hit on something there. But there I think is enough there that, you know, this is at least a... reasonably, you know, for a modern rom-com, this is a reasonably good thing. I say go back to something, just pick anything from the 1930s, and you'd have a much better time than this piece of junk. So,
all right.
So that does it for the show for this week. Next week we'll be reviewing another bridal-themed comedy.
All right.
This time,
hopefully it'll be better.
Involving Bridesmaids and Mel Gibson's, I guess, comeback vehicle. Should be an interesting show, I think.
All right, that sounds good. And as always, you can visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. And if you have a comment or question, you can call our comment line at 818-581-2010. And Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
All right.
That's a little painful, but... got through it.
That was really painful. Yeah. Jesus.
What?
Here's the trailer.
Why? You didn't care. You like marriage, etc. Don't break up with me. Okay.
Drama is made when values are in conflict, and that means there's very little drama and very little to root for. Is John Krasinski or John Krasinski? Krasinski. Oh my God. What am I doing?
All right, so, yeah, I agree. Are we taping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Phil!
Living your dreams and taking chances, even if they lead to failure.
But you didn't tell me you liked me! I don't think they're self-absorbed enough.
Hit him in the head with a sock full of panties or something.
And that poor Krasinski in that movie, like, he totally got the shaft. I mean, he was the best character in the movie, and he got the short end of the stick.
I thought...
Without him, it would have been walkout material, for sure.
Oh, God. You know, just shoot me in the head. You know, hit me in the head with a sock full of pennies.